Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Danae. Welcome to Mysterious Mavens Podcast.
We are a true crime podcast, but we also like spooky things. But what do we like most of all?
We love
self-care for yourself. What did you do this week for self-care?
This week for self-care, what did I do? You know, I just kind of like cleaned the house and tried to organize a bit, and now it's like completely unorganized again because we had
to. You kind of have to unorganize it to organize it.
Yeah, so that felt good. I got some like mopping and deep cleaning done, but now I need to like reorganize.
I feel like your house is always clean though.
Oh, thank you. I try, but also it feels like...
Well, having a baby, it's kind of like hard to keep up on it.
Cluttered, I get like, ugh, like...
I get frustrated, yeah. Too. I'm like, so get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, so I'll be definitely cleaning some more tomorrow, but I feel like I got some good stuff done this past week and like meal prepped, and I felt productive.
I wish I felt productive, but you know.
You know, sometimes you're not.
Yeah.
What did you do?
We got our, well, we, I got my wedding band, so
yay.
It's pretty. I'm excited. People are like, are you gonna wear it before? I'm like, no.
Well, yeah, no, you can't wear it before. No. I mean, you guys are technically married, but like, no, wait till the ceremony.
It's just like, yeah. No, you wait until after the ceremony. Until you're
like, officially like...
Did I pick out the wedding band? Yes.
Of course.
So, I don't know. I felt like when I got home, because I saw it was delivered, and Keith stayed home so he could, like, pick up the package. And I was just like, I thought he was going to hide it for some reason. I was like, where is it? And
he's give it to me.
Well, because I wanted to see how it looked it. Yeah. So, and he was like, it's here. Oh, my God. And I'm like, sorry. I don't know why I got so aggressive, but... I wanted to make sure it fit.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so I'm really excited.
Yay. What are you going to tell me about today?
So I'm going to tell you about the murder of Sherry Rasmussen.
That sounds so familiar.
It's kind of like, it is one that is known, but it was just one that like, I'm just, what the fuck? You know, it was like one of those ones that...
Is it unsolved or is it just like messed up?
It's solved, but it took a few years.
Okay.
It was unsolved for... It was unsolved, but it was solved.
Okay. Does that make sense? It was unsolved and then it was solved.
And it took a few years for like everyone to agree that it was solved, but it was very obvious.
Okay, okay.
It was one of those and the... I don't know. Anyways, so I have my sources... It's a podcast called Court Junkie, and they were really helpful because they went over the trial. And they were one of the sources I used. I have a lot more that like will be in the show notes, but it was just one that I was like, oh, okay. It just talked a lot about the prosecution, and unfortunately, I don't get into the prosecution that much. I get into like how they figured it out. Yeah. But I was just like,
that's interesting to get that perspective on it, though.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So Sherry Rasmussen, also, I say this so often, but it is so wild the amount of like backstory they don't give you into this person.
Oh.
I had to search around to find her birth date and like where she was born and like a little bit of information about them, because I like to humanize people that this horrible thing happened to.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel like so many places don't like give the person their story. It's just like, they were murdered. Well, like, tell us about them.
Yeah.
I don't want to. They were murdered. So anyways, thought that was interesting. So she was born February 7th, 1957. So she was an Aquarius.
Nice.
She was born in Walla Walla, Washington.
Okay.
I thought that was a fun name. And she was close to her family members, but she had an especially close relationship with her dad. Like, you know that family member you vent to? Usually your mom, let's be real.
Yeah.
But she, her person was like her dad. And her dad's name was Nels Rasmussen. And Sherry was said to have a big heart, and she wanted to be a nurse and work in the healthcare industry. Like, she always knew she wanted to do that, which I think is pretty incredible when people, like, know what they want to do and stick with it.
For sure.
And she ended up going to UCLA and starting classes at the age of 16 years old.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was so smart that she actually became... quickly the director of nursing at Glendale Adventist Medical Center in her mid-20s.
Dang, okay.
Get yeah. So first off, she does classes at 16, and then she's like the big chick in charge. Like, that's incredible. Just in her 20s. I couldn't imagine being in charge of anything in my 20s. Right. I wasn't even in charge of my own destiny.
I wasn't even in charge of myself.
So, a theme that was ever present for her was saying that she wanted to make nursing a more friendly thing, just make it more personable, I guess.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I'm saying more friendly. I'm like, nurses are very friendly, but more personable, I guess.
Okay.
And just make people feel better, make them feel more comfortable with nurses, all that stuff. Yeah. And when you become the director of nursing, like, anything that you want is super possible.
Totally.
So she ended up dating and then later marrying a man named John Rutten. And it was said that John was absolutely crazy about her. And she she personified the kind of person that he wanted to be.
Oh,
which I think really is so amazing.
That's like such an amazing compliment.
Yeah. It's like, wow. I'm with you because I want to be like you. That's just so kind. And the two met and immediately fell in love. And they met in 1984, and by November 1985 they were actually married.
Wow.
So it was a quick turnaround.
We're in love. Let's
See pictures of them. It's like, it's just obvious.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's sweet.
And unfortunately, they pretty much only got to be a married couple for 4 months.
Oh, no.
So.
And now the tragedy starts.
Yep. So this is where shit gets rough. So keep in mind, November 1985 is when they got married.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So on the morning of February 24th, 1986, John had left in the morning to go to his new job, which was with an engineering firm. And Sherry was set to do a motivational speech, training, something of that nature, because she was the director of nursing, and that morning she wasn't feeling super great, and she had kind of hurt her back recently, like, the previous evening, and she was kind of like, I don't feel super great, and John was like, just go to work, get it over with, and she's like, I don't know. So he left not knowing if she was going to work or not, and he left around 7:20 a.m. So at 9:45, the neighbor noticed that the garage door was open and there was no car in the garage. And she would have left earlier than this to go to work. I'm not exactly sure what time. Like, that was never specified. But, like, 9:45, she would have been gone.
Yeah,
so,
like, that's kind of late in the morning.
Mm-hmm. So a neighbor was like, the garage door is open. That's weird. And there was no car in the garage. So I'm not sure if the neighbor informed him or what, but John started making some calls home, several, in fact, and the answering machine wasn't picking up because I don't really understand why, but they would unplug the answering machine at some points.
Why?
I don't know.
Like, they just don't want people, like, getting a hold of them?
I don't know. It was kind of confusing, and
okay,
they would plug in the answering machine when they would leave for the day. Maybe they didn't want people recording phone conversations. Who knows?
Huh.
So, the answering machine wasn't picking up, and John just assumed that she had probably gone to work and forgotten to plug in the answering machine, which I'm sure I would have done every single day.
Yeah, same.
And this wasn't concerning to him at that point.
Right.
But the garage door was, I'm sure. And I don't know.
Maybe she just forgot to close it. Yeah. You know, like,
I wish I knew. Yeah. And I wish I knew if that's why he was calling, but, and I'm assuming it is, but, he ended up calling her secretary at work, assuming she had actually gone into work. And the secretary said she hadn't seen her, which was also not unusual because she could have just gone to the class right away, done the speech.
Without talking to the secretary.
And so this wasn't super concerning because that happened a lot. And she's like, you know, like just when people would be like, have you seen your coworker? And you're like, no, but like.
But they're probably here somewhere.
Yeah. And yeah, so that wasn't unusual. And anyways, so Sherry's sister also tried calling her, and I'm wondering if her and John were kind of teaming
communicating,
up.
Communicating,
yeah. Yeah, or if she was just calling on her own, but she didn't get an answer from her either. So a cleaning lady that was in the area, it says in some reports she did hear gunshots, and other reports, like, there was, like, she heard gunshots, and then, like, later it's, like, she didn't hear gunshots. So I'm, like, did she or did she not?
Huh, okay.
And two people arguing and, like, something breaking, like, a glass. And this was around, like, 12:30 p.m.
Hmm.
Which, timeline's weird, too, because the garage door was open. I don't know. So I'm just like, huh. So John worked an entire day, and in the evening when he returned home, he noticed that the garage door was still open.
So, wait, sorry. The cleaning lady heard, like, in the neighborhood?
Yes, she didn't work at their house.
I was thinking at, like, her job. Okay, so no, in the neighborhood,
yeah. She was, like, at some neighbor's house. Okay, and she heard something, and she's like, huh. But, you know, probably was like, not my business. Turning on the vacuum.
Right.
So, John worked an entire day, and when he returned home, he noticed that the garage door was still open, and there was broken glass all over the driveway.
Oh, shit.
And a gift that he had given Sherry as an engagement gift, a BMW, was missing.
Yikes.
So it's not like she was still there and she forgot to close the garage door. It's like no one was there.
Yeah.
So.
And was the glass, like, from the car, I guess?
Doesn't specify. Huh. It's just broken glass. And I kind of wondered the same thing. Like, what was the broken glass from?
Right. Because, like, that would maybe think make me think, like, oh, maybe, like, someone stole the car.
Stole the car, yeah. Which, like, in the 80s, that would make total sense.
Yeah.
John was very obviously concerned, and he had no idea what happened. He was like, well, she left. She probably would have let me know.
Yeah.
Because if she wasn't going to work, you know, he was just like, that's weird. And he also didn't know if she went to work or if she stayed home, too. So he was kind of like, I don't know what she did.
Yeah.
But when he entered their condo, he had found Sherry motionless on the living room floor.
Oh my god.
With blood all over her.
Dude, that's so terrifying.
She had been shot three times, and there were very obvious signs that a struggle had happened, and there was defensive wounds on mostly her arms, but parts of her body.
Shit.
And Sherry was, like, a big woman. She was over 6 feet.
Oh, okay. She's real tall.
Yeah, so she could hold her own.
Yeah.
Not that, like, women can't, but you know what I mean? Like, women over 6 feet, that's just not super common.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm 5'9", and I'm told I'm tall. So, the furniture in the condo was just all over the place, and a porcelain vase had been broken over Sherry's head.
Oh, God.
And what I think is the scariest part of this whole thing, like, it's all scary, don't get me wrong, but there was, like, a bloody handprint next to the alarm, meaning she tried to, like...
Like, alarm, like, set sound off the alarm. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. That's just so, like, haunting.
Yeah. And that's what he said. It, like, just made him go, oh, my God, she was calling out for help.
Yeah, she was trying.
Mm-hmm. And there was a quilt nearby that had obvious, shots through it. Like, it was... Somebody used it...
To, like, muffle the gun?
Yes.
Oh, God.
I'm like, how do I explain this? Yeah, there were, like, obvious, like, it was muffling the gun. So that's where I'm also like, huh, like, why are you trying to silence a gun if you're going to shoot people? So John immediately called the police, and the forensic teams had just jumped into doing stuff. And something that was also really strange is there was a bite mark on her arm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they are able to get teeth marks from someone.
You know, I kind of wondered that too. Not quite, but they use it for something.
Okay.
But yeah, teeth marks, I was kind of like, wouldn't you use that? I think that's more of a recent thing now because there is actual dental records. But I don't know in the 80s if they did that.
Then they would have to, like, manually look for it, right?
And there was a lot of people that were incorrectly put in jail because the teeth marks almost matched them, and they used to use that as, like...
They're, like, close enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you. Makes sense. But... they had taken a swab of the bite mark for saliva samples.
Okay, good. So at least they've got some DNA.
So they did something. And it was super quickly decided that she was the victim of a break-in. And the fact that she was wearing basically like her underwear and like a robe showed that she wasn't expecting anyone over.
Okay, so she had tried to stay home for work.
Yeah, it sounds like.
Okay.
And basically the cops were like, well, somebody had tried to break in. No reason to like really look into this.
Yeah, it's cut and dry.
Yeah. And they assumed somebody was taking electronic equipment, and Sherry tried to stop them and intervene. She got shot. And John was quickly ruled out as a suspect. I mean, he was at work. They were like, he was at work all day.
They didn't think like, so they thought they were trying to take electronic equipment from her house?
Uh-huh. Like a break-in. Okay.
And then they also ended up stealing the car.
Yeah. So by the timeline, John was definitely at work. So he was quickly ruled out as a suspect. And he actually ended up moving out of Los Angeles and quitting his job and moving somewhere else to start new and fresh because he was so upset about her death. Like everyone said, he was never the same person after that.
I'm sure, right? Like something like that is devastating.
They were only married for 4 months.
That's horrible.
You have your whole life figured out. And then it's like, just
kidding. He obviously like adored her. So it's ugh, that's just so sad.
It's so heartbreaking because I knew, I'm sure you were like, oh, the husband did it. And I'm like, nope.
No, but not this
John's
time.
Not a totally squeaky clean guy, but we'll get into that.
Okay.
So they were also able to locate the BMW about a week later and they swabbed it, but it yielded no results. And something that I find really, really weird was the only other thing missing was their marriage license. Some reports say the marriage license was fully missing. I mean, by the end, you'll kind of be like, ah.
Okay.
So in some reports, it said it was ripped up, and then other reports said it was missing. But either way, it was damaged in some way.
Okay.
So the big thing's missing, BMW and marriage license. There weren't,
and the
like,
BMW was his engagement gift to her.
Yeah.
Which is like, what a gift.
Damn. Right? Can I get a ring and a BMW? I would have wanted a Ford Bronco. I'd be like, Bronco, please. So just in the burglary right there, it's like,
strange.
Why
would anyone care
the
about
BMW,
your license?
By all means, the marriage license?
Yeah, like, who gives a shit
what
about that?
What the fuck? Yeah. So a person that helped a lot in this investigation was Sherry's father, Nels. Mm-hmm. Who Sherry talked to all the time and told her dad absolutely everything. Like I said, he was the parent she would vent to.
Yeah.
And they started digging into her personal life a little bit because it's still just like, regardless of if you think there's a burglary, you kind of have to look into it because that's just strange.
Well, and people, I feel like if you're like a smart thief, right, wouldn't you kind of like do a little bit of like investigating, like what kind of shit did these people have, you know, like,
yeah.
So I don't know,
and it was
like
somebody
it
that knew their
someone
schedule because they assumed, you know, like she wasn't gonna be there
because
it was like kind of an odd thing.
It's like a little bit of legwork that goes into it, and maybe it could even be, you said they were in a condo, like what if it was like someone who was working maintenance, you know, like something like that where it's like they probably had crossed paths at some point, you would think.
I mean,
I don't know.
Definitely sure. Someone that crossed paths with them. I'll say that much.
Well, and just to even do some investigative work in general, like, is there anyone
you can't
that
just
has
cut
like
and dry
a
ever say it's just a burglary?
Yeah.
Especially
like, does someone have a
when
reason
nothing
to hurt
other
her?
Than just the BMW was taken and it was ditched a week ago?
And like, everyone always does the burglary gone wrong to cover up a homicide. So like,
yeah,
is it something deeper?
Well, and we'll get into it.
Yeah.
So they started digging into her personal life, you know, just to see what was going on. And Nels immediately asked them to look into a lady by the name of Stephanie Lazarus.
Lazarus, wow, okay.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about Stephanie Lazarus.
Stephanie. Were they frenemies?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But she was born in 1960, so she was a little bit younger than Sherry, and she had also gone to UCLA. And she and John used to hook up all the time. And it wasn't anything serious. I mean, they were basically friends with benefits.
Okay.
Why do friends with benefits end?
Because someone wants to get serious.
Yep. So, admittedly, okay. He said she was not my girlfriend, and she said he wasn't her boyfriend, but Stephanie liked John so much more than he liked her. That sucks.
Sucks to be in that position.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's gone through it, and it sucks. Yeah, it's good to be in the other position.
Where you don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, whatever. Yeah, I've been in both positions. Anyways, so in 1982, the two had left college, and they had kind of been hooking up through college.
Okay.
And they were hooking up after college, 1982. And if you remember, he met Sherry in 1984. Mm-hmm. So, and it's weird because sources were like, Stephanie was his girlfriend. He's like, she literally wasn't. And even she's like, we weren't dating. But he said that she used to steal his clothes and take pictures of him in the shower.
Girl.
Which is so creepy.
That's so weird.
That's so creepy.
Oh my God, what?
And yeah.
I mean, the stealing the clothes, whatever, but
taking pictures of him when he's naked, that's so creepy.
Come on. That's so weird.
It was just like a lot of people said she was like obsessed with John.
Uh-oh.
And he met Sherry in 1984.
And she was his person. Like, how did you say it? She was the personification of what he wanted to be.
Yes. Like the personification kind of person of the person he wanted to be. Yes.
So she's like his dream girl.
Yeah.
And Stephanie's like, why not me?
And she has, like, such kind eyes, too. Like, she's just, like, you. She looks like somebody that, like, would be a nurse and you would be, like.
And they would take care of you, like so well.
Genuinely take care of you. Yeah. But finding out that he was pretty serious about Sherry was just absolutely heartbreaking to her. So when he proposed to Sherry, Stephanie had found out and she was devastated. Just absolutely beside herself. In fact,
she wanted to take some more shower pictures? I'm just kidding.
Who doesn't, right? She ended up writing John's mom a fucking letter.
Why are you getting this mom involved? You fucking creep.
It's so cringy. Dude, it's like,
what's his mom going to do? Be like, now, John, you should really give Stephanie a chance. Like, what?
Also, like, that's you so want somebody to pick you because genuinely, you're what they want. I don't want anyone to pity pick me.
I don't want you to be like, well, my mom said I should pick you.
My mom said I had to pick you. I know. I was like what?
How creeped out is his mom? She's like, I just got this letter from this bitch who's like your fuck buddy in college. I don't even know her. And she wants you to like reconsider. Like, that's so weird.
I need you to break up with the personification of what you want to be. And I need you to just date this girl that you weren't serious about. Oh my God. Ever.
Like, did she really think that was gonna work? That's so stupid.
I don't know, but it made my skin crawl when I heard that. Wow. So that night she found out about the engagement, not the same night it happened, but the night she found out about it, she was super upset. She called John and he came over to talk to her, and he ended up coming over to talk to her about it and then they hooked up.
Oh no. Oh, okay.
That's why I'm saying John, he's not squeaky
actually,
clean.
Actually, fuck you. Like, that's so messed up. Are you kidding me? You just proposed to this, like, amazing woman.
But and he then did tell Sherry. He at least was up front and did tell Sherry. No, I'm like, fuck this guy. But, like, he did at least tell Sherry. And he said, I'm so sorry. I fucked up. I love you. Please, just, like, let's be together. And also, it's not his fucking job to make sure she's okay with it.
No.
Like,
sorry, you don't need to explain to someone, like, yeah, I'm getting married and it wasn't you. Like,
have you ever had anyone, not about marriage, maybe, but, like, have you ever, like, somebody really liked you and you didn't like them that much? And, like, maybe you should have, like, been a little more upfront with them, whatever. You start dating someone else and they come to you, like, upset.
Oh, yeah. Like, I thought you didn't want a boyfriend. Well, I didn't want you as a boyfriend.
Yeah, I've had people do that. And guess what I didn't do? I didn't go over and talk to them and hook up with them.
Like, pat your back and be like,
and that's a fucking engagement. You'll get over it.
Yeah. You'll get over it. You'll
it wasn't find... like he was dating someone. He was engaged to somebody. Yeah,
you'll
to,
find
like,
someone
marry.
Else. I promise it'll be fine.
A lot of other fish in the sea.
Oh my God. People are so stupid.
What? So, yeah. And I'm just, it's not his job to make sure she's okay with it.
No.
But fuck him for having sex with her.
Yeah.
Because also, like, regardless,
I feel like he took advantage of that situation.
That's what I'm saying, too, is, like, how confusing is that for Stephanie? And I'm saying Stephanie, unfortunately, like, should know. But, like, still, like, that's so confusing
to her.
But it's,
like, leading her on even more. Like, yeah, I just got engaged to this person, but
I have that in my notes. Like, way to lead her on even further. Yeah.
No, sir.
I want to know how that conversation took a turn. And then they're like, we should bang.
We should bang. That's so,
so
stupid.
But Sherry, being the saintly woman she is, she accepted it and she said, okay, we're still going to be married and stuff like that. Here's my question for you. Okay. If a guy does that, would you not tell him you are never talking to that person ever fucking again?
Yeah.
I wouldn't get back with them, but like if.
Yeah, but there'd be a boundary of
and
like,
I
so.
Never
the thing
say
about
never because I don't
you shouldn't
know.
Shouldn't be like. Hanging out with this person.
You
like,
never talk to that person
they
again.
They clearly have feelings for you. Nothing really good comes of it. Like,
yeah.
What's the benefit of trying to even pretend like you're friends?
Okay, so you're on the same page as me. Like, you have to be done with that person.
Yeah,
anyways.
Sorry, but
keep
you.
That in your brain. So, Sherry's dad, Nels, was not a big fan of John to begin with. And I'm not sure if he knew about the hooking up. I don't even know. Like, if he did, he just... There's just something
he
about
just
him
didn't
he didn't
like.
Yeah. But he's like, whatever. Sherry loves him. And I don't know if she told him about that hooking up thing. I kind of think she did. But at the same time, I don't know.
It's kind of a weird thing to tell your dad.
Yeah, that's why I'm like.
But they were close. Who knows? Either way, he didn't like John.
I'm like looking through the notes where I'm like, why would you talk to her ever again? But Stephanie would just randomly start showing up.
Bitch.
And the biggest one is in workout, cute little workout clothes. She showed up and asked him to wax her skis.
I cannot.
Keep in
this,
mind,
girl.
They are in Los Angeles.
I'm sorry. Like, get a fucking hint.
Sherry was
and
like, do not fucking.
Him for like not making it abundantly clear that like he's not fucking with her anymore. You know?
Yeah.
Like she clearly has some sort of like, oh, there's like some hope.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude.
Like, if Keith were to hook
showing
up with one
up.
Of his ex-girlfriends, I would be like, you're never talking to her again.
Yeah, no.
But, like...
In order to, like, earn my trust, I feel like I would need to, like, know that you're not just, like...
Yeah.
Hanging out.
And he doesn't talk to any of his exes, yeah. So thank God.
But, like, that's so weird that she's, like, showing up and, like, trying to be like, oh my God, look at my short shorts.
Wax my skis. We're in fucking Los Angeles.
Yeah, like, what?
Anyways... Also, is she going to, like, Big Bear or whatever it is in California? Like, why does he need to wax her skis? Sherry said, please do not wax her skis. Tell her to leave.
Yeah.
And
he
was like,
be a man and set the boundaries.
It's easier to just do it.
No.
No, it's fucking not.
Now you're giving her hope.
Yeah. Like,
God, men are so stupid.
Like, also, why is she fucking showing up?
Yeah.
Like, you hooked up with her. Like, how is she able to show
it's
her
easier
face?
To just do... No, it is not. You are enabling her to now come over anytime.
Yeah, and feel like it's okay for her to just show up.
What?
He's enabling her. That's the perfect word for it.
That's so messed up.
So she picked the skis up a few days later during a time that Sherry usually would have been at work and
of
John
course.
Usually would have been at home.
Right.
And this made Sherry feel really uncomfortable. She was like, first off, why does she know what time to stop by? Like,
yeah.
When I'm not around? Like, is this... And they... Nels thinks she did that on purpose, but he's not positive. He's like, I wonder if she did that as a, I know when he's home alone.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
She was trying to, like, see if he would fuck her again.
Yeah. So, it's like, why does she know when to stop
Dude.
By? Why does she feel comfortable stopping by? Like,
no,
she's too comfortable.
Sketch.
That's weird.
Yeah,
and it made
like,
Sherry
back off.
Feel self-conscious.
Yeah. Like, I'm engaged to this man. Like, why are you still trying to get with him?
I'm going
to
put this little factoid up there, too.
Girl code.
Come on. Stephanie was a cop.
Oh, no.
Stephanie was a cop.
Oh,
and she would
no.
show up in her uniform when she would come over sometimes. And if that tells you anything about Stephanie... Few times, in fact, she would go to Sherry's office and tell Sherry, i.e. threaten Sherry, that if she couldn't have John, nobody could. And she would also tell Sherry that me and John just had sex, even if they didn't. Yeah. She would go into her office where she worked.
Okay. No, thank you. This girl's ridiculously, she's like, crossing
psycho. Yeah. So, wow. But, like, you don't go to somebody's office to talk to them about weird so stuff. Weird. And also, she's a nurse. You can't tell me she just has moments to just sit around.
Yeah.
Nurses are constantly doing stuff.
But she's using her, like,
do you remember that politician says, like, women or nurses just sit there and play cards? And it's like,
no.
And then she refused to. They were like, oh, you think we play with cards? Okay. Well, why don't you come for a nurse's shift? And Lily's like, okay, I trust you. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
They are constantly busy. They're unsung heroes. But, like, what an uncomfortable situation. Her stopping by the house, making her feel uncomfortable, and, like, going to her office. I don't know.
Like, what do you really think is going to happen? Like, I don't know. When you do stuff like that, it's, like, in her mind, she's just like, I'm going to, like, threaten her, and then he'll be mine. Like, what?
Yeah. And he was very much not interested, even though he slept with her. But during the investigation, Nels had told the police that this happened because, again, she would vent to her dad about this stuff, and there was no solid evidence that this had happened, so the cops just kind of, like, were like, well, there's no evidence that it happened, which there isn't, and Stephanie's not gonna admit to it.
Like, it's not illegal.
Yeah. And Sherry didn't even tell John about these encounters because dad said she was more concerned about not rocking the boat in her relationship than her life.
I'm sorry, I would be bitching him out.
Oh, yeah. Because, like, she kept showing up. It would be one thing if she was doing that and he wasn't engaging her.
Dude, that would have been pissing me off.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I would have definitely bitched
him out. Because I wouldn't have bitched him out because I was like, I don't want you even talking to her. Like, because if...
Yeah.
Because positive or negative. But I'm saying, like, even if, like, she wasn't showing up and stuff like that and he was, like, doing that, I would just... I don't know.
Yeah. It's not appropriate.
Yeah. And, yeah. She told people she can't have John. No one can.
What a fucking psychotic thing to say, too. Like, okay.
And it's fine if they don't believe Nels. They don't have to. But, like, just...
Look into this, bitch.
Look into it. It doesn't hurt you. But, again, like I said, little factoid, she's a cop.
Yeah, great.
But they didn't even want to question her even a little bit.
Wow.
It changes. And investigators said that there was either a domestic dispute between John and Sherry or that there was a burglary. But keep in mind, John was cleared. So they're like, so it had to have been a burglary. There's no other choice. Yep.
We're not going to investigate a fellow cop.
Yeah, there was no way in their heads that anything else had happened, even though the evidence didn't point to either of those things being what happened. Like, burglary, yeah, furniture was overturned, all that. But nothing was taken.
The marriage license being damaged and or stolen. Like, that's a red flag.
That's why I told you that.
Like, come on. Do your job.
I like how you're like, I already know what's going to happen. But you're at the impasse of, oh, how did they figure it out? Anyway, so... Was there a bias at work here because she was obviously a cop?
Yeah.
I don't know who's to say. Who's
cops
to say?
Protect cops, generally.
In the 80s. But the investigators' discussions with Nels about Stephanie were missing in the evidence.
Interesting. Did she have access to that?
You know what's crazy? And I wondered this and I looked at this. I don't know if she did or not.
Or she could have just had a friend who had access to it.
And I feel like that was a really important part that was left out of all that stuff. I wanted to know if she had, because it's in the same county. It's not like, yeah. But yeah, so all the conversations were Nels, like, they had discussions. Like, it was all recorded what Nels had told them.
Yeah.
But anything about Stephanie was deleted.
Interesting.
And
what a coincidence.
Yeah, any shred of Stephanie's missing.
That's insane.
So one of the investigators, Lyle Mayer, like how John Mayer says his name. So anyways, I'm like, I should add that part in.
Wait, what?
There was an investigator named Lyle Mayer.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you say it? And like, they were like John Mayer. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I was like, oh, I'm just going to add that. I think it's spelled the same way too. Oh, okay. But, he said that he assumed the perpetrator of the crime was female because of the bite mark. Bite marks aren't common in crimes
with men.
I could see they're much more common with women perpetrators.
I could see that.
Yeah. What guy is biting?
Because sometimes it's like, I don't know, like men can punch harder maybe. Well, I mean, if they're attacking you kind of thing, but like, I would definitely bite the shit out of someone if like...
That's what I'm saying. You know, if I was getting attacked, like, I would bite. Are you kidding me?
If I was in a fight, I would definitely bring out the nails. My jaw. And the teeth.
Yeah, my jaw would fuck shit up.
Yeah.
So, the case went cold. I'm sure you're shocked to hear that. I know.
No way.
So surprising. So...
Was John like talking with Stephanie after this? Like, was she trying to be like, oh no, I'm sorry that you're widowed now?
I'll get into it. Okay. Yeah. Because I think that's...
It seems like she wouldn't really miss a beat, you know?
No. Well,
she'd be like, oh no, she died, but I'm here.
Yeah. So the case went cold. They put it in commercial storing. Out of sight, out of mind. And if you think this is an isolated incident of him asking them to look into Stephanie, sorry, I'm like back to Nels talking about Stephanie.
Oh, Nels, okay.
He would call weekly.
Good for him.
Weekly and be, hey, have you checked into Lady Cup? You haven't? Okay, cool.
Cool, I'll call back.
Hi.
Talk to you next week.
It was multiple times a week. I shouldn't say it was like once a week. It was a few times a week. Oh, you didn't look into the Lady Cup?
Like being love persistent.
Him. What a good dad.
Seriously. He knew something was up.
I feel like my dad would do that. And totally. I feel like our moms would do that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would do that. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God, yeah.
I'd be like, I would like have like...
I would be so annoying.
Yeah. Well, like, if I went missing, I know you would also be like, yeah, it's fine.
Hello, like, let's fucking investigate
you
this.
You'd come on here and be like, guys, we gotta find Kim. Mysterious Mavens will be back. But like I said, we're looking for Kim. That's what I would do too.
Mm-hmm.
The sound quality wouldn't be as good because I'd be using my stuff at home. But, you know, it's fine. So... he would call weekly. Did you look into the Lady Cop? Nope. Okay, bye. I'll call you tomorrow. So in the 1980s, DNA testing wasn't as prevalent as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it was in its infancy. Right. So it was very costly. If you remember, I wish it was like the Southside Rapist. It was the one after Dennis Rabbit, but that was like one of the first cases that they used DNA.
Yeah.
And that was in the 90s. Right. Do you remember that case?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, oh yeah, there's one. How about I not look into it? So I can't tell you which one. It was in its infancy, but they were using it and they told Nels it was very expensive. And Nels like, I don't give a shit. I will fucking pay for it out of my own pocket.
Okay.
Test the DNA, please. Okay. For the love of God. And
if you have the ability to do that, that's amazing.
Oh my God. You're going to get so mad. They were like, we would love to do it, but we don't have a fucking suspect. And Sarah, he was like, motherfuckers, are you kidding me?
Are you kidding me right now?
I'm sure he didn't say motherfuckers, but my notes say, motherfuckers, are you kidding me?
Can you please but do your job? But he
did say, I do have a suspect. And they were like, sorry, crackle, crackle, crackle.
I feel calls like they should cut. Have been like, do their due diligence, prove this man wrong. You know, like, oh, it's not her. Let's prove once and for all that it's not her.
Why?
You
know, like, why not?
He's willing to foot the bill.
You should even just let her know. Like, even if you are covering for her, let her know someone's on her tail. Like, let her fucking... I mean, it's just... He's like, we insane. Do have a suspect. Why are you not
why
doing this?
Why are you not even looking into it?
So, something extra interesting. You're going to probably, like, storm out of here. That happened in this case was a lot of the evidence was randomly signed out of storage and was lost and they couldn't find anything. Like, what a mystery.
My God.
You might say mysterious mavens.
These fucking people.
Yeah. So
covering for themselves. Like, are you serious?
Yeah.
That is so messed up.
So messed up. It was, I was just like, are you,
wow.
You're fucking kidding me.
That
right?
makes it more suspicious, you know, like,
don't be suspicious. I am.
If you really thought like, oh, this lady is not, it's not her. Like, they would investigate it, find out it's not her, and then be like, see,
mm-hmm.
like, instead of being like, whoa, we're not even going to look into it. Like, what?
Yep. Yep. It's like.
They know. They all know.
Why was that?
It's so stupid.
Like I'm saying, it's what a mystery. But So a few years after the murder had occurred, Stephanie had decided to invite John on a trip to Hawaii.
Oh my God. Just as like friends.
She was going to get her scuba license with one of her other friends.
Oh my God.
Anyways, but before John went on this trip,
This fucking guy.
Well, what he did was really strange. I know, that's why I'm like, John, like,
you're not looking good.
He didn't do it. That's great. But
you're not,
he's not
looking good.
That's why I'm like, he's not squeaky clean in this. Anyways. Oh my God. So before he went on this trip, with Stephanie and her friend, a guy, ironically, who was getting certified in scuba, he actually, before he decided to go on this trip, he called Detective Mayer to make sure that there was absolutely no evidence that linked Stephanie to Sherry.
Oh my God.
Which, if you even have
an inkling,
why the fuck would you go?
I just don't understand this man. Like, what?
I mean, we all want to go to Hawaii,
yeah,
right?
And they're not going to, like, be like, oh yeah, we'll check into it now that you've asked. Like, her dad's been asking for months and months, and now that you ask, like, are they, oh my God, I just, wow.
But if you are even the littlest bit, maybe suspicious, a little, like, nugget, don't go. Why do you need to go? You don't.
No.
Fun fact, you don't. Anyways, so that was in 1989, a great year. Great year. Some might say the best. And let's fast forward to the 2000s.
It's cold for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Wow. That's what's upsetting. DNA. It shouldn't have been. But that's,
yeah.
We are in 2005. We have blue eyeshadow. We are wearing our bootcut jeans that don't fit super great, but we're in high school. Kim still has her back brace, so this was not an exciting time for me.
Low-rise jeans.
Low-rise jeans were like, but we could like wear them and they worked, you know? Well, better than they do now.
I certainly could not wear them now.
Well, I couldn't wear them because I had back brace, so looks like Kim and Danae were wearing mid-rise. So, yes, 2005, this murder happened in 1986. And a woman detective named Jennifer Francis decided to reopen this case. Because there was a task force that started, and I don't know if task force is the right way to word this, but LAPD cops were the fucking worst for a lot of years. Mm. There was a lot of corruption. And there were thousands of cold cases. And there's only so much space. So They were like, let's fucking solve some of these.
Okay. Well,
that's good. Let's solve some of them. And yeah, so Jennifer, and you know, it took a while to get to some cases.
Well, sure.
In 2005, a woman named Jennifer Francis decided to reopen this case, and DNA was becoming more prevalent. And so a lot of the cases, I wonder if were shelved because they didn't have the DNA.
Right. They didn't have the capabilities to even test it as they should have.
Mm-hmm.
Not should have.
So as much as I'm like, oh, it's rude, I'm like, you know what though? They kept the evidence. They knew DNA was going to come a long way. Yeah. So she felt like the evidence had been mishandled, which of course it had been mishandled.
Grossly mishandled.
Yeah. Completely. And she was wondering why stuff was signed out, and she knew that she was wondering if the forensic evidence was still available because that would have been kept in a fridge. And, you know, the cotton swab that they swabbed the saliva would have been kept in like an envelope in a freezer. That's how it should have been.
Okay.
And they actually showed it wasn't on file. So she's like, was this signed out? Yeah, and she was like, great. So it's missing. So
she has nothing to go off of, at least thus far?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So I don't know how long after, because stuff gets crazy in a little bit later in the 2000s, so I don't really have a timeline. But they had found that a little envelope had fallen in the back of the freezer, and it just said Rasmussen on it.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. So
she had a little guardian angel looking out for her.
I think so. I was like, yeah, because I was like, that's kismet right there.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I was like,
nice try, Stephanie, you dumb bitch. I hope you go down.
So I feel like karma, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, she had a guardian angel or something that was like,
something in her favor.
That's like, we need this to.
This girl needs to be put away.
Did I say Stephanie did it today? I didn't.
I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead. But we all know it. This dumb bitch.
So she made them test the saliva again, and it was determined that the perpetrator was female. And the first person they looked into was a former coworker of Sherry's, because the two had really gotten into it.
Oh.
So it wasn't unreasonable that they did that. At first, you're like, okay. Ugh.
At least they're looking into shit. God.
Finally. And, yeah, and she was, you know, they had altercations or whatever, and they were, like, did discreet DNA testing on that lady without telling her, and they're like, it wasn't our lady.
Okay, so not her.
Yeah. Then they finally decided to look into their very own, which they should have done at the beginning. Whatever. I digress. But the day this happened, they're like, she would have had to have been off that day. Oh. They kept the records.
Okay.
And they found out she was off that day.
So she didn't think that far. She didn't think that far about the records of her attendance.
Right?
Huh. Dummy.
Well, it's kind of impressive because they didn't use computers then, so like they must have kept some serious record keeping. Some
really good records.
Yeah, that's why I was like, oh, and this is 2005. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So I was kind of
fucking file somewhere.
Yeah.
Wow.
So some investigators decided to get some evidence from her, but because she was also a cop, they pretty much had to keep this entire investigation under wraps. Good. Very few people were involved in it.
Well, that's good though, because I wouldn't want word getting out, you know?
Well, she was referred to as number five.
Number five. Why?
Not give her a name. Who's number five?
They're
not
but like, what is five? Like, is that a relevant number? That just random?
No. Maybe, but in terms of the story I'm telling you, no. It's just, which is a good question, actually. And I didn't think to even look into that. But yeah, she was just referred to as number five. So okay. I was like, wait,
her code name is number five.
Number five. So she went to Costco with one of her adopted children. And at this point, she had also married. And
so she finally moved on from John?
Shockingly.
Okay.
And she was married and she had an adopted daughter. And then she was going to Costco. Who doesn't love Costco? I mean, $1.50 hot dogs with a drink. I mean,
I was just thinking about the hot dogs.
I wish I could have it. Yeah. I went to Costco. I can't because it's beef.
Oh.
It's like,
sucks for you.
Can't you guys make pork? So rude. So rude.
Can't you consider my allergies? Yeah. Thank you.
Does nobody think about me? Does nobody think about me except for you and Steven? So they ended up taking a drink or whatever, something she had been eating, and they were able to take a sample and it ended up matching.
Who would have thought?
What? I know. I was just as shocked as you. I dropped my $1.50 hot dog when I heard that.
I can't believe it's her. Yeah.
I know.
Not that she has the perfect motive.
Yeah.
And the perfect job to cover it up.
And the schedule just matched so perfectly.
Good. They got this dumb bee.
So at this point, Stephanie... the stupid bee. I don't know, the way you said it just made me laugh. So she had been with the department for around 26 years. So she had been a very seasoned officer and she had done traffic stops, questioning people. Like, I'm saying, like, she's
done it all.
She had been in every department at that point, which after 26 years, you'd fucking hope so. So she was actually in a division, and I think she was the lead of the division. It was two people, and they were only in California or LA. They were the art theft department.
Oh, okay.
So she would just, like, investigate. Is there
that much art theft?
Well, there's two people in it.
I know, but, like, they even have a department for it? Like, wow, it must happen more often than
I was kind of wondering not. That. I was like, that's so specific.
Right?
So specific.
Okay.
So, she was a pro at questioning people and doing investigations. So one of the investigators on her case said, hey, Stephanie, we're questioning some art people about theft or I don't know. She's like,
ooh, that's my specific job.
That's exactly what I do.
Exactly what I
do. And they're like, we need you to come down to the interrogation room so you can help us question them.
Okay, be there in five.
And she was like, coming. And they got into the room and it was just her and two officers. She must have been shitting her pants because they're like, and they actually, one of the podcasts I listened to had the recording.
Oh.
And she's like, it was forever ago. Forever ago. Like, fucking like, pick a new catchphrase, bitch. It doesn't matter
if it was forever ago. You literally took someone's life.
But there's like,
and yeah, also, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. You didn't even end up marrying this fucking guy. So, was it worth it? Not that if you married him, it would be worth it. But, like,
I get what you're saying. You know, it didn't go anywhere. It didn't go anywhere.
You literally just killed someone and, like, and now she's gone. And
see, the marriage license, when ruined. I started hearing this, when I heard the marriage license, I was like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
So she was proud asking questions. They're like, Stephanie, come with us. And they close the door and it's her and two police officers. And she basically was like, yeah, I know John Rutten. And if you listen to these tapes, which you should, it's kind of funny. I mean, because you know what happened. They start asking her. They're like, yeah, I mean, I know John. Yeah. Like, John and I have met. Like,
we've met.
He wasn't my boyfriend. I wasn't his girlfriend. But, you know, we met.
I was just, like, obsessed with him.
He was married? I don't know. That's all. I didn't know.
Married?
I mean, I know. No, I know his wife.
Oh, wait, I did know him.
Oh, yeah. No, actually, like, I told his wife that, like, he had hooked up with me and wasn't hooking up with her. But, like, I don't know. We maybe talked, like, 3 or 5 times.
Wow.
But, like, I wouldn't say it's 5 times. Oh, she was murdered? Oh, yeah, I knew she was murdered. This is probably, like, talk to John about it. So she went from, like, I kind of know John to, like, I talked to Sherry a few times. And she was, like, her name, I think, was, like, Shelly or Sherry. Like, it's such bad acting. Oh, I'm like, girl. Yeah. And it was just, like, trickle, trickle, trickle. Oh, she did talk to Sherry.
Yeah.
It was so stupid. I was like, in my notes, I'm like, she basically goes from I sort of know John to, oh, I've talked to Sherry before. And the officer, she's like, oh, I know what's going on. I should get a lawyer because you guys are going to question me. And she's acting like they're so insane. They're like, yeah, you can leave the interrogation room at any point. You know that.
Yeah. Like, you're a cop, you know the rules.
And she ended up leaving the interrogation room and she was immediately arrested.
You stupid idiot.
Well, the cops were like, we took you in here because we respect your privacy and we didn't want people talking in the office, which I thought was actually really nice of them. Sure,
they gave her an opportunity and then it ended up that she's arrested and everyone knows.
Yeah, there was hardly, right away. Yeah, so they pled their case to the courts and the courts, like, they didn't deliberate for very long and she was sentenced to 27 years in prison.
Good.
And after this happened, and this happened in 2009, Nels ended up suing Stephanie and the LAPD for pretty much just fucking him over.
Yeah, like, by not looking it into under the rug, ignoring his, like, pleas to look into someone who, like, from all accounts, seemed like a pretty good suspect to look into.
Do you want to know why he lost?
He lost?
Statue of limitations.
No, okay. I was literally going to say earlier, I was like, she better not have got off, like, easy because of, like, some sort of bullshit statute of limitations, but...
Yeah, he wasn't able to sue.
Dude! So fucked.
He died in 2019, but I am so happy he got answers.
I'm glad
he got
closure. I'm glad he... Yeah. He kept, like, pursuing it and, like, saying, this is the person you need to look into. Like, good on him for keeping at it.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have to, but good for him.
He shouldn't have had to, but, like, I feel like if... I don't know if she had siblings, so she might have been an only child. It's very possible she was. And,
That's so sad.
And I'm sure, like, there's people that are like, what the... Well, she had a sister, never mind. But, like, it's just... It's so sad, and, like, she was so close to her dad, but he at least got justice.
Yeah.
And it's so fucked that he didn't get anything from the, like...
Yeah.
From the city.
From them completely, like, messing up an entire investigation so they could
around cover it either. Themselves. Yeah, it was just like, what the fuck, guys?
That's messed up. Ugh, I can't believe there's a statute of limitations on that.
Yeah, they literally just tried to protect her. And I'm so glad the investigators, like, nowadays are like, no, fuck this person.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I feel like people don't protect as much as they used to, which is good.
Yeah.
We shouldn't, you don't protect people that murder people. Like, yeah. I don't care who they are. That's yeah, insane. that's the murder of Sherry Rasmussen. And if you ask me, I think that case is just so infuriating because it's right in front of you.
Yeah.
And there are some cases that you think are right in front of you.
And then it's not.
And it's not. Yeah. And you're like, oh my God. So, you know, yes, they need an investigative, but like, yeah, so that's the story.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
it's insane.
Yeah, we'll post pictures on Instagram at Mysterious Mavens Pod. And if you have a story or if you have anything you want to share with us,
yeah, email
we're
us.
We're happy to read your emails and reply back to you.
We love getting emails. It's like, yeah, it's a bright spot.
It's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
We're mysteriousmavenspod@gmail.com.
We also are on Facebook and on TikTok. Granted, we need more content. But yeah, just you can follow us anywhere.
Yeah.
Don't say you couldn't find us because we're everywhere.
All right, friends, until next time,
self-care for yourself. All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.